Listen, after we spoke last week about the subject of Kedushat Shvi'it and Sfichim and how to deal at home when we have fruit that has Kedushat Shvi'it in it, and we gave a bit of background on the Isur of Sfichim, which means that any one-year plant, usually vegetables, that is planted on Shemitah has Isur Sfichim, which means we can't even eat it. So there's a machloket tanaim if it's the right or the rabbanan, but it's forbidden to be eaten. Lamaisa we pass into Isur the rabbanan, but it's lo mashaneh, and we can't eat it at all. That means lamaisa fruit that had chanata in the seventh year has kedushat shvi'it, and we can eat it. Speak kedushat shvi'it, and vegetables that started growing, since we go by vegetables by when we pick them, so any vegetable that started to grow in the sixth year but was picked in the seventh year has kedushat shvi'it in it also, which basically would be relevant for the first few weeks, maybe once, two or three months of the year. Usually vegetables will have kedushat shvi'it in them. That is, in general, after that, vegetables already, you know, unless you plant them in Shemitah, you can't have any vegetables. And basically, vegetables has Isur Sfichim. So, what I would like to talk today about is, and this is basically the final shiur in the series, is about buying fruit and vegetables on Shemitah, which is probably the most practical thing. You have a garden, you don't have a garden, and this is the most practical shiloh that we come up with. And basically, Otzar Ha'aretz solves most of the problems, as we'll go through the things. Most of the questions, and solves most of the balagan. Otzar Ha'aretz, and I really want to clear anybody who didn't list yet to Otzar Ha'aretz as quick as possible. It's also important that I hope to explain in a few minutes why it's so important that everybody should list in to sign up to Otzar Ha'aretz. In any case, when we're talking about Pirot Shvi'it, so basically we want to deal with two problems that could come up. When we're dealing with Pirot Shvi'it, with fruit on Shemitah, so first of all, when we spoke 2 weeks ago about picking fruits, if we have a tree in our garden, we just pick as much as we need just for a few meals. But if we, when you're talking about orange juice companies, or farmers that have fields or have orchards full of fruit, how are they going to pick fruit in Shemitah if you can't pick fruit, if you only pick just bit by bit? How could we distribute the fruit to the people? That's question number one from the farmer's point of view. Also from the point of view, how could he work? I mean, he could work in the field, just like we mentioned, like in the ways we work in a garden, and just upkeep the upkeep and not for sure not plant anything new, but upkeep what's there. And we talked about upkeeping the tree, upkeeping the fruit, but basically it causes a big difficulty for farmers to do work in the land on Shemitah. Second question is, how do we as consumers how could we buy fruit of Shemitah? Why? Because, just as we said, the Torah says, "Vayta Shabbat Aretz Lachem Le'ochla," and Chazal tells Le'ochla. So last week he spoke about Le'ochla ve'lo lehefzed, not to put it to waste, but also Le'ochla ve'lo lischora. We can't do any business with Pirot Shvi'it. We can't buy and sell them. So how is it supposed to get from the? How is the farmer supposed to pick just a bit for a few meals, and how is it supposed to get to us? So what are the solutions from the point of view of buying fruit and vegetables on Shemitah? So, I'll go mamash very, very in short. This year is going to be a practical year, just with a bit of background. We won't go into the depth of the sugyot, but just understand basically the basic background and hopefully also what to do and what not to do. So things go as follows. The first two simple solutions, not solutions, but that have the least problem, is one is what's called Yevul Shana Shishit. Today, with modern technology, fruit can be kept for a long time after it's picked. So there are fruits for sure, and also a lot of I don't know how many, but quite a few vegetables. I bring potatoes and carrots for sure, and probably a good other a few types of vegetables can be kept in refrigeration or in other types of ways for quite a bit of time. That means even if they're
I'm just saying.
You want to tell us something about the quality of the things that are kept?
Exactly. All right, you have 3 months.
3 months? Okay. Potatoes? You know anything? Okay. What's that? Anyway, things can be kept quite a bit of time.
It probably dries up. I mean, some things you can keep. Apples you can keep for a year. It doesn't make any difference.
Right. So, so basically, things can be kept. So, the simplest thing is obviously things that aren't Shemitah fruit or vegetables, which is called Yevul Shana Shishit. When it's Yevul Shana Shishit, it means that, or in vegetables, it means that it was picked already on the sixth year, and means you'll be able to find potatoes, I don't know, maybe even Purim time, and you'll say Yevul Shana Shishit. Or for sure, canned food for sure. That's you'll be able to find canned food either a long time after Shemitah, and it'll say Yevul Shana Shishit. So just make sure it's not out of date. But I'm talking now halacha, not health. But that's a simple thing. Yevul Shana Shishit, things that was ready, vegetables that were picked on the sixth year before Shemitah started, or fruits that no matter when they were picked, but had their chanata, even if they were picked on Shemitah, but they had chanata. They reached a certain stage of their growth. Ready before Shemitah, so even if they were picked on Shemitah, they do not have Kedushat Shvi'it. We do not have to. Obviously, there's the general Isra of Bal Tashchit, but in general, we don't have to be fussy about a Shemitah bin or putting in a bag every time we finish, or when the kids eat, or with Avdallah, and with everything, all the things we spoke about last week. It's not a Shemitah fruit at all. And that's regarding the Yevul Shana Shishit. So basically, with vegetables, I reckon at the beginning of the year, and certain vegetables for a few months at the beginning of the year will still have Yevul Shana Shishit, and it won't be a problem at all. Second solution is what's called Matzah Menutak, which in English means, I don't know, exactions. Okay. Right, nachon. It's a detached. The earth is detached from the ground. Basically, the way it is, I'll just mention what we spoke about a few weeks ago, with regard to plants in the house. We mentioned the suffix of the Yerushalmi, with regard to growing a tree in a house. And the Yerushalmi said, on one hand, the Torah says, "Sadcha lo tizra v'chamecha lo tizmor." And on the other hand, says Vaita Shabbat Shabbaton Yela Aretz. So on one hand, it's not a sadeh; it's in a house. On the other hand, it's Aretz; it's earth. So the Yerushalmi has a suffix if it's allowed or not. And Lemaise on that suffix is Lechumra. That means if we have anything growing, we'll be growing in the ground, not in the house, and it's not detached, so it would be asul even if it's in the house. But we mentioned if it's a tzitz she'inon akuv, which does not have a hole on the bottom, that means it has a plate under it or something like that in the house. So then we combine two kulot together and we allow it. So basically, with what is pretty simple regarding a flower pot, here comes into practice with fruits and vegetables. I would say more or less what they do is basically. The farmers they build a type of a hothouse, which is Tzoch HaNyan considered a bite. There is a lot of discussion on this if hothouses could really considered a bite or not, because it's a big question of the heter of a bite of growing in a house is it only if it makes it grow not as well as it would grow outside. Since in a hothouse, a lot of times it takes away all the bugs and you can adjust the temperature, and sometimes it grows even better than what it would grow outside, so then there's some poskim or machmir on that. But lemaise, in any case, let's relate to at least certain types of hothouses which Otsara Aras brings from to a bite, and they cover the ground with two layers of nylon, and basically which detaches it from the earth itself, and then they put other earth on that nylon. They're basically, and the vegetables are basically growing in a house detached from the ground. And in that case, there isn't a isur, and there's no kedushat shvit, and there's no isur of working the land or whatever, doing any work with the vegetables on Shemitah with that. So that also, if we have matzah menutak, so if we rely on the poskim that consider at least certain types of hothouses as a bayit and it's detached from the ground, so therefore we can be we can use those vegetables too. That is the second solution. Now, these two things are limited. Yivul Shana Shishit is only for a limited amount of time, only for certain types of, I guess all the leaf type of vegetables and all the, or some things are perishables, you can't keep them, you can't freeze them or anything, or else it'll all get ruined if you take and put them in low temperature. And also, so they can't be kept for a long time. And also, matzah menutak, there's a limit. It's also, I reckon, pretty expensive to grow things in that type of way. And there's also a limited amount of quantity of vegetables that are grown as matzah menutak. So basically, these two solutions don't solve the vegetable problem, also from the time point of view for most of the year, and also point of view of the most of vegetables will not be available as Yavul Shana Shishit or Matzah Menutak. But basically, these first two are preferable if we have them. Okay, so for anything else. The third type we have is Otzar Beitin. I'm sure you all heard this term, but I'd like to elaborate at least what we're talking about. What does Otzar Beitin mean? So the Tosefta in Masechet Shviit, Perek Chet Halacha Aleph, and this is basically the only source for this term Otzar Beitin. Tosefta Masechet Shviit. So the Tosefta tells us, "Barishona yu shluchei beitin yoshvim al pitchei ayarot. Kol mi shemevi pirot betoch yado, נוטלים אותם ממנו ונותנים לו מהן מזון שלוש סעודות והשאר מכניסים אותו לאוצר שבעיר." There used to be a certain the Beitin used to supervise over people coming into the city. People used to go out of the city to their fields and bring in their vegetables or their fruit. Now, as we said, we're allowed to pick only a certain amount if we're picking on a personal basis. So what Beitin would do in the olden times, Barishona, would be, that means check how much fruit you brought in and make sure that you only take the amount you're allowed to take. If there's any extra, they will take it and put it into a general place and distribute it evenly to all the rest of the people. What happened later on, higiyaz man tenim, okay. Excuse me?
Isser,
we didn't finish.
No, but if there's an Isser on the Likud, as it were, in the beginning of more than Shas Sudot, and it's a Sefet anyway.
Yeah, so don't worry, we're not going to, we didn't finish this year. So that's why there's another few rows in the Tosefta. And the Tosefta says, "Higi azman te'inim, shluchei bedin sochrim po'alim, ve'odrim otam, ve'osim otam dvila, u'machnisim otam le'otzar sheba'irum. הגיע זמן ענבים, שלוחי בידין סוחרים פועלים, ובוצרים אותם ודורכים אותם בגת, וכונסים אותם בחביות, ומכניסים אותם לאוצר שבעיר. And הגיע זמן ביתי, זיתים, and so on and so on. What is it the Sefer telling us? That basically, when time for figs, or for grapes, or for olives to be the time to collect them, Beit Adin would pay people to go and pick all the fruit and put it in a general place, and then Beit Din would distribute it evenly to all the people. Meaning, as we mentioned, I think 2 weeks ago, that the Isur of Ktsira and Betsira is lo tiktzor kederech hakotzrim, lo tivtzor kederech hakotzrim, means not to show ownership over on the fruit. But if it's a person who's coming to harvest or pick the fruit, is somebody who is a shliach beitin. He's from the general. He's not somebody personal who's doing business with the fruit, but he's a shliach beitin. Beitin is paying him to pick the fruit and distribute it to the people. So that the Torah didn't answer that. That is the chiddush of the Tosefta, which basically means opens up a very big kula. That means that if the Isra of harvesting fruit in large quantities is only if we are doing it as the owner of the fruit. But if the fruit is hefker and the one who is harvesting it is shliach beitin and doing it for the public, so it's not a problem. You can even take a large quantity in one go and it's distributed to the people. That is the point of it.
Why is it any different than, I mean, with my limited knowledge of the way farms and planting works, why is it any different than the workers that are paid by, it's different from the workers that are paid by the owners, because it's not the owner's responsibility, it's not the owner's initiative that's picking, that's the...
I don't understand the question exactly.
What the chidush is that it's the beitin that's sending the workers to pick the vegetables and not the owner of the field that's sending to pick the vegetables? What's the difference from that and a regular
harvest? The point is here that basically the fruit is hefker.
You're not picking for the owner.
When I'm an owner of an orchard, and I go to pick the fruit because I own the fruit and I sell it. Okay? Right? So basically, okay, so what happens now is I'm not coming as the owner, is that the fruit is hefker, it doesn't belong to me. Okay? And the Beit Din sends someone, pays someone, pick the fruit and distribute it to everybody. Because when I'm the owner, I take it and sell it.
No, but I'm saying, what's to stop? If I worked for you and I were picking the fruit, then
for me as what?
What's to stop you getting
paid by the
Beit? What's
to
stop you getting tomorrow to the field?
Say it again.
I'm saying, meaning it's not. It's you have declared your field hefker. Somebody else is coming along. The Beit Din is coming along.
Even if you yourself, we'll still see that. Even if you, the owner, the potential owner, if you're being paid by the Beit Din for the work, and the fruit does not belong to you, it's just you're just. You're getting paid a fixed amount. No, because if I'm the owner of the field and I'm picking the fruit, I calculate and I sell the fruit at a price that pays me to make profit on the fruit. I calculate that it's going to cost me X money to pick it, and to distribute it, and I want to make money on the fruit itself. I planted it, I grew it, I invested money in the fruit itself, and I want to make... So it's a business. No, the point is here that the Beit Din, okay, makes a fixed rate. We're going to pay you for picking the fruit.
And does that money cover him for the work and the distribution and sending?
It's the Beit Din distributes. Otzah La'aretz distributes.
No, correct. But so the farmer has to gain the money that he gets. They're not going to say to him, I'm going to give you 5 shekels to do all that work. They're going to say, I'm going to give you X amount. Will that money that they give him cover ki'ilu?
Ki'ilu.
This is my second.
Okay.
Ki'ilu that he sold it, he did all the
okay,
he
probably will not lose, but right. In a case, but I'll give you an example from, and we're advancing too fast here, but it's okay. Last Shemitah, there was almost not going to be Otzah to Shemitah. Why? Because last Shemitah, what happened was that there was a set deal with potato growers, okay, and X million shekels to pay them, okay. And what happened was they had a deal, Otzah Haaretz or whoever did Otzah Beitim with the potatoes, okay, had a deal with a lot of people that they're going to distribute the potatoes there, and people are going to pay for it. And what happened was that some elements made they got probably cheaper potatoes from the Arabs, and the market was flooded, and they couldn't sell the potatoes. So what happened was the Chaklain didn't lose anything. They got all their money. They got all their money, even though the potatoes weren't sold.
But
the Beit Din
lost 10 million shekels. Okay, that was what happened. That's if you work by halacha. That's the chance you're taking. Because if you're selling the fruit, if you're a farmer and you're selling the fruit and you're getting paid for the fruit, if you won't sell the fruit, you won't get the money.
I think that's still the basic fundamental nafkamina, which I think was raising. What is to stop me going tomorrow or going next in the middle of Shemitah?
You as what?
As what? As an ish prati, to an orange.
As an ish prati, you're not allowed to pick more than mazon a few sudot. It's lotik.
What is the distinction between if I'm doing it as a shliach based in?
Because the point is of the Torah. The point of the Torah is on Shemitah that everybody will enjoy the fruit evenly, and not only the people who own the fields. Right.
Was it,
so therefore, if you're a person who's working for the Beit Din, So you're a public service person.
Why, so you're working as a public service.
You can pick as much as you like. But if you're a personal person for yourself,
I'm asking you, why can't you just go pick enough and take it to the shuk and sell it for no profit whatsoever? Because it doesn't work that way.
You can't. Everybody's going to do that. First of all, everybody's going to do that. And basically, you can't. You're not defined as a public person. You can't decide who's a ish tzibur or not. Yeah, for that, there has to be a beitin. Okay, we won't go into the halakhic discussion. How do you have this beitin? What is exactly considered a beitin? But how do you find a beitin? Who decides who's a beitin and who's not? But if there's a beitin is an official public institute, and they can assign people to do work for the public. But if you're a person on your own behalf, you can't do the thing of saying, I'm doing for the tzibur. That's not too totally
different. My question on all this is, so presumably, in order for the beitin to go out, hire the workers, and to harvest during the seventh year, the farmer probably put in a certain amount of work in the sixth year. And so why would he do that? Does he get anything back from putting the work in the sixth year so that the harvest can be done later on?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly all the what I know at least there are halakha discussions about every detail you're asking here. In general, the way it works is that the money the farmer is going to be being paid, okay, is irrelevant to the fruit he's going to produce. Okay, that's the whole point here. It's disconnected, and that means you're not selling the fruit. You're being paid for other things, but you're not, and you're also being paid as a shliach beit, and you sign a contract. Only farmers who sign a contract with the Beit HaDin, that they're workers of the Beit HaDin, Votzal Beit HaDin, they are allowed to do it under the all the rules the Beit HaDin gives them. And obviously the Beit HaDin, basically when we're paying for the fruit, so we're paying also for the mashgichim that are checking that the farmers are doing as they're told to do. And that's why sometimes it could even come more expensive than a regular fruit. Because a regular fruit, because you're basically paying for the Beit HaDin and for the mashgichim, for all different things, but you're not paying for the fruit itself. That's the whole point.
They do a plan, they sit with the Paradise Son. They sit with them before Shemitah and they say, right, generally, during the year, normally, what does it cost you? How do you work out imbalance? If you're talking about bringing the workers, you have to get them from wherever they are to the farmers. You have to get the tractors, you have to get the trucks, you have to get whatever. Give us a list of how it works. What do you do? All the costs. They take the costs, they go home, they do their shuri by it. Basically, the long and the short is they play around with the words. You're not paying for the guy, you're paying for the truck driver's time.
Nahon, but again,
you're
the point
to
is...
the workers to...
Nahon, so, but again, the money you're getting, the money that's being paid... is going to be at the end of the day, if it's done properly. There's been cases where Beit HaDin didn't do it properly, but if it's done properly, it's disconnected from the price of the fruit itself. And that solves the problem. That means when the fruit it arrives at the shop, even though you're doing basically almost the same thing you do with the regular fruit, you're basically paying the Beit HaDin for its expenses that it's going to pay the farmers. And that's why, in this Shemitah, what Otzal Haaretz is doing, that's why I said it's important to sign up in Otzal Haaretz. Why? They need to know how many people are going to buy. Because or else they won't sign with farmers. They're not going to sign with a farmer if they don't know people are going to buy the fruit. Otzal Haaretz. Okay.
So we pay them 50 shekel a month, and they give us whatever.
No, but they know that there's people who are going to buy. They can have an estimate calculation.
Is
how much a family?
Is that why they're charging? They're charging up 150 shekel a month so that they're guaranteed that much.
I mean, that's just a minimum amount. You buy much more. A person buys 500 shekel a month, not 50 shekel a month. But
no, I'm saying, but is that part of their?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with all their details of how they work out the financial costs. But in general. In general, okay, the way it's worked out is that when you get to the shop and you're buying the fruit, you're paying the Beit HaDin, okay, for what it's paying the farmers, according to their deal with the farmers, that's not for the fruit. So basically, what you're doing is you're not buying the fruit, you're paying Beit HaDin for the service of getting the fruit to you. That's the way it's working. Okay, that's officially the way it's working. Okay, now... obviously, hey, you're saying, everybody should pay a fixed amount, and why do I pay according to how much I buy if I'm not paying for the fruit? So obviously the Beit HaDin considers, they can distribute divide up the costs as much as they like, and they price it out the way they like. They'll put a limit price. That's what at least Shlashmita was. They put out a list of fruits that are otzar bitin, and the maximum price that the shop could charge. And that means, and that's which means that they're controlling the prices so that you're paying the amount that's supposed to be paid to the Beit Adin, and not more and not less. What they need, or what the shop wants to make on the fruit, or what the farmer want to make of the fruit.
Isn't also the fact you pay ahead means that you're lending the farmers the money to invest now?
I don't know how it works. The money that's being paid now, I don't think so.
As far as I understand, they ask money, people to sign up, so they know how much.
Yeah, I think that's
what Nahon.
They need
to know.
They need
something. Nahon, they know how many farmers. I'm saying if they want to have
thousands of tons of.
Nahon, they don't want
to
lose.
To the
exactly,
farmers.
Exactly. That's why they need people to sign up ahead of time. Okay, that's right.
I apologize, that was the last two showrooms, so maybe this is something that's been covered. But from a conceptual point of view, the whole history is a shop to our hearts. Okay, so are we saying that the and you know, take those two words, you would think that the issue is actually, to not work the land. Are you saying that the issue is actually on the person not to work the land? Because
okay, we spoke a bit about that a few weeks ago, but in general, I was just giving a point we didn't talk about, and I hope it'll answer the question at least partially.
Okay, that's one question. Another
okay.
Question
yeah, I hope I remember it by the time you finish the second one.
If the farmer is, you have this big sort of communal collection pot,
right,
and you've got 20 farmers that are farming, we go through the whole shkhur, basically whatever.
Right.
Theoretically, he could be. He also needs the farmer also needs to eat. If he's going and he's buying fruit from this pot.
The farmer could, anyone, okay, can go on a personal level to any field that's hefker and pick as much as he needs to eat.
Fine, but
regardless of if he owned it before Shemitah or didn't own it before Shemitah, he can go to any place as long as you know it's hefker. We said if we don't know if people made a hefker or not, we don't take from it. If we know that people made a hefker, you know it's an orchard that the people there are working with the Tzar Beit Din, you can go there and take as much as you need.
But if theoretically we're saying that this, I think the source you talked about, like a collection point.
Nachon.
Where, you know, literally there could be 20 chaklayim, they bring their apples, they all get mixed in.
Right.
The chaklay who was 1/20 of that pot, likes to eat apples, he goes and he buys Baz apples. Theoretically, has a 1/20 chance of buying his own apples.
So?
But they're not his, they're
Beit's. They're Beit's, they weren't his in the first place.
So you're saying that the...
They weren't his, they're Hefker anyway. He's going to be paid back anyway,
right,
according to what was set out before Shemitah for his expenses. Regardless of what fruit he brought or didn't bring. Okay? Now, answering your first question, we said there's four melachot d'oraita. Okay? Zri'a and zmira, planting and pruning, and k'tira u'btira, which is harvesting the fruit. What I said in general that as shlichei beitim, we could do work on Shemitah, it's only the harvesting. Which means basically that working the land is a iser in any case. Even as a shliach beitim, and that is one of the... You'll speak about it in a second. These people as shlichei beitim cannot work the land as in any year. They have to work it according to Shemitah rules. That means they can't plant anything on Shemitah. They can only water just the minimal amounts that the plants need. They can't do any pruning they can't, okay? They have to keep the Shemitah rules, and that's why also you need Mashgichim to check that everything is done properly. Okay, they have to from that point from point of view of working the land, the shavta on the person. But from the point of collecting the fruit, we say that if it's done in a communal way, then we can do it on Shemitah. If you're working as a shliach beitin, okay.
Isn't, I know it's for the but isn't the Beit Din then taking ownership of the land?
It's not taking ownership.
It's a kind of like a fine, like
they're,
it's a fine.
Nahon, they're not taking ownership. Look, basically what we're doing basically is nobody's
hefker
dealing with the fruit. Basically, we're not talking about the land here, we're talking about the fruit, okay? Basically, we're not taking ownership of the land. The Beit Adin is only mechalek et ha-pirot, because what you're doing, you're paying the farmers for their work, regardless of how much fruit you're going to get from them. Okay?
You're paying them to keep
Shemitah. You're paying them ahead of time to keep Shemitah in their lands and harvest the fruit that's going to be there, regardless of how much they're going to give you. You're going to do an estimate, a calculation, and every tree gives you 500 peaches. Okay? Center? The Beit HaDin isn't buying the fruit. It's paid the farmers for their work as Shlichei Beit HaDin. Okay? As they hired them to work for them. The land is Hefker. I pay...
I can still go, anyone in those fields can still go, and take as much as they need for their family for the next
just
day.
As you would take from your garden, yeah.
And
yeah.
No one can stop them.
If you know it's a...
field.
And then, okay, and then that fruit is distributed by the Beit HaDin, okay, and they divide it, they decide how much to charge to cover their expenses that they need to pay the farmers. Okay, that's the way it works, okay? Okay, now, what we're solving here, is also lechla velo lischora. We said we're not allowed to make business out of Perot Shvi'it. Basically, we're paying for the expenses and we're not buying the fruit itself. And that's the way we solve the problem also of harvesting the fruit and also the issur of schora beperot Shvi'it, of buying and selling the fruit and vegetables. Yeah.
The Rambam doesn't bring this down.
Mm-hmm.
So on that basis, I heard the Sfarim on the basis that the Mechaveh in general would follow the Pesach of the Rambam, that's because the Rambam didn't bring it down. The Sfarim in general don't hold by what's our Arutz, even though I know like Rav Mordechai Eliyahu is always signed on these Otzar Arutz.
I don't know if any specific poskim who I mean, almost all poskim, as far as I know, rely. It's true that the Rambam does not bring the Tosefta
right.
down, and it's a point. But the Ramban does, and other Rishonim do. And basically, most of the Achronim, as far as I know, are somach on Otzar Bitin. Okay, on this heter of Otzar Bitin, it's a big chiddush because you can say basically we're relying to harvest in a general way, just because we're shliach Bitin, which is basically the Torah says, "Kame lo nesofet v'otenu and." You're not allowed to harvest. Then suddenly you're doing general harvesting just as usual, and that's a chidush. But basically, most achronim are relying on it, especially where it comes really into practice. Where you see everybody, did you see anybody who doesn't buy a wine or tarbedin wine? I don't know. It's a good question. From the Sephardi Rabbanim, I don't know Masorot. But as far as I know, most of the Rabbanim rely on it. So, from your personal point of view, maybe check it out.
Why is the
shop allowed
to take
them
out?
Excuse me?
Why is the shop allowed to charge?
Well, the shop is giving you a service.
So it's allowed to pay for the distributor?
Well, the shop is giving you a service. He's giving you a service. He's holding the fruit. He's doing him a service. So the Beit HaDin limits him. The Beit HaDin sells him at a certain, basically sells him at a certain amount, okay? And basically what the shop does is the shop pays the Beit HaDin for the expenses. You're paying the shop for the expenses for what he paid the Beit HaDin and for a bit of extra, and the Beit HaDin limits, that's why the Beit HaDin limits him. As how much he can take for his expenses on the service he's giving you.
Don't forget the shop has electricity, gas, rent, whatever pays their workers.
So they're providing service. I mean, it's legitimate.
Are there reasons that would be people that are prefer to buy from Arabs or not?
I just now got here to the advantages and disadvantages of Otzar Beit HaDin. We'll speak in a second. Now, advantages of Otzar Beit HaDin. First of all, advantage of Otzar Beit HaDin is that, first of all, we're keeping Shemitah. We have our orchards, and we're keeping Shemitah properly in these orchards or the fields that were planted in the fields of vegetables that were planted in the sixth year, which do not have Isus Fichin. And we're keeping Shemitah properly. Second advantage of it is that we're eating Perot Shvi'it, which according to Ramban is a mitzvah taseh. It's a kiyum mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to eat, mitzvah doraita, to eat the fruit. So to eat the fruit of this, or mekayim a mitzvah of eating Perot Shvi'it. And the third advantage is that we'll speak about Heter Mechira soon. We don't have much time left for it, but But the third advantage is that we don't need to rely on heter mechira. We don't need to keep the orchards and the fruit to get the fruit us. We don't need to rely on heter mechira, which is something we prefer not to rely on. Okay. Now the disadvantages are from the farmer's point of view, which is not from the consumer's point of view so much, but more from the Beit Adin versus the farmer, is that whereas if it would be a heter mechira, where it's considered a land of goyim, okay, for anger's sake, so if it's a land of goyim, you can do a lot of more avodot, you can do a lot of melachot that are, you don't want to be so makbid on all the halachot of keeping of the work on Shemitah, at least melachot rabbanan are allowed. Now, we're not selling the land, we're keeping the land kadosh b'kedushas shvi'it, so that means the farmer has to, we have to make sure, the Beit Din has to make sure that the farmer's keeping all the halachot properly. I mean, he's doing only what's needed to upkeep the tree. And we mentioned there's a very big machloket achronim on if you're allowed to work that'll upkeep the fruit, and you want to get the fruit to the shuk or to the shops, you make sure you're getting a big fruit, a nice fruit. I mean, now according to Rav Kook, for instance, you're not allowed to do work to upkeep the fruits. I mean, only to upkeep the tree. That means if you're going to get a 2-centimeter peach instead of a 7-centimeter peach, you won't be able to do work in the orchard, according to Rav Kook. Whereas the Chazon Ish is making on that and says we can do work to upkeep the fruit too, that there shouldn't be loss on the fruit. The ukme peira. Okay. So that means we need to be, we have to go into a lot of kulot so that we'll be able to get a normal fruit from a lot of trees. Because today a lot of the things that are done in the orchards or the places where fruit is grown, it's not upkeeping. It's making things. It's fertilizing and a lot of things that we can't basically do in our garden. And if we're not so much on the kula that we could upkeep the fruit, so tzar Beit Din tachlis won't be practical because the fruits won't be fruits that anybody will want to. Thank you. That anybody will want to buy. Okay. So that is one thing. One reason that some people may object to tzar Beit Din. I mean, we'll add here also that maybe somebody will have said that some poskim don't pass in Otzar Beit Din, as David mentioned before. And maybe the most specific, the most the biggest reason that you hear the most, which is in regards to Daniel's Sheila, why do some elements prefer not to rely on Otzar Beit Din and prefer imported from the Arabs or from other places, is because people have nerves and keep, Chas v'sholom, we should have Perot Shvi'it. Yeah? We mentioned last week, we spoke about all the dinim of how to keep roach meat. Basically, we said that to eat them normally and not to go over nervous, just make sure you don't waste them. That's it. But people get over nervous with keeping roach meat. What do I need to get them to these shilas? And I can't always throw it out. I'm going to have a shmitah bin and change the bag every day. You know, it's going to make me over nervous. And it's a type of... I think it's a problem with people who are afraid to keep mitzvahs properly. I mean, the Torah wants us to keep to eat the perot shvi'it. Lo'ochla. The Torah wants us to eat it. So there's halachot. We have to learn them. We have to know how to deal with them and not run away from them. You have a problem. It's a good thing for life in general. If you have a challenge, so you know, you take it, you affront it. If you run away from it, it'll run after you. It'll just get bigger. So we take it as a challenge. Nachon, so we have perot shvi'it. Adarba, it's a mitzvah to eat perot shvi'it, and we keep the mitzvah as best as we can. Nachon. But other people know, if I can import stuff and even get it cheaper, what do I need to deal with perot shvi'it and have all these halachic problems and all these things? Yeah, don't want it vizil. So that's basically where it comes from, that attitude. But I don't agree with it. Not only me.
There's one based in coordinating, or...
Excuse me?
There's one based in coordinating, or is there going to be a whole machlokes of Hashem? Is it that's what's based?
You don't have to have only one Beit Din in Am Yisrael.
No, I'm asking practice.
It's not a Sanhedrin, they have to have more.
No, I'm asking before what actually happens.
Excuse me?
In practical terms, what really happens?
There are.
That's what's based in.
There are some. There are going to be a few Otzar Beit Dins. But. So I don't know exactly which ones are going to be around, and I don't know the details. But as far as I know, the Otzar Haaretz, the Beit Din is a very serious Beit Din. There's big time with the Chachamim there, and they're very serious people. Rav Shapiro, Rav Eliyahu, Rav Ariel are sitting on that beitin, and they're very, very experienced, a few dozen years already dealing with Tzvot HaTliyot Ba'aretz, very experienced also from a practical point of view and also from a halachic point of view, so that's for sure you can rely on.
So anything under Otzah Ha'aretz is liable?
Nachon. From the Otzah Beitim we're talking about. Okay.
Just to expand my question a second. If I would speak to relatives or people that say, again, on the Haredi side,
right,
they wouldn't have any ta'anot. I mean, the rabbis you mentioned there are obviously in our camp.
Nachon.
Other Haredi rabbanim who hold by the Tzara'ats.
Rav Linowitz.
I'm not saying Rav Pachemish necessarily.
No, you won't.
I don't hold Rav Linowitz and Rav
No, you'll have Haredi or Tzara Beitins. There are Batei Din. Haredi they have their own. They have their own. They do the same thing with the different farmers.
So they
have, but Otzah is probably the biggest one around.
But they
all do with wine. They all do it with wine. You have always Otzah Beitin wine. Always comes out Shemitah. You have.
So besides the two issues that we brought up now, being nervous about the Machbir and the old Shemitah, they wouldn't have any other Tanot. We don't hold by that to
Sefter,
or it's just a
Mishcha. No, it's a base thing. Nachronim, the Heter or Tzar Bedin is a wide based thing. And
it
was
it be on that particular base?
No, but whether also
meaning it would be.
If you don't rely on the Rabbanim, Beseder, but that's if it, okay, Beseder. So if you don't rely on the Rabbanim, that's your problem. But in general, on the concept itself, no. No, that's the Kol HaDeot. That's the most Mehudar thing. Aside from, as we talked about, Shishit and Matzam Lutak, there are also some people in Bibi Cholik, as I said, Matzam Lutak, they won't consider Hatal as a bayit or things, but there'll be Machmir in that also. But in general, Tzabit is the most Mudah thing around. For sure. That's the whole point of what Tzal is. Now, let's go further. Now, just to conclude this point of the Otzah Beitin before we advance, there another Isur, the Rabbanan, on dealing with Perot Shvit is not only buying and selling them, but is also measuring them. And this is a problem that comes up when you go to the shop, because the shop weighs the fruit and you pay by weight. Now, the ideal way, from the Rabbanan, for a few reasons, put an Isur on weighing, like on Medida, like measuring or weighing fruit that has Kedushat Shvi'it in it, and therefore lichora would be a problem to go to the shop and weigh it on the thing. So preferably, I don't know what shops, if only the Vizol or there's going to be other shops here who have Sukkot Hatzlacha. I don't know how it's going to work exactly. I mean, when we had in our kolel, we did it by estimate. That's the right way to do it. But if the shop doesn't agree to do it by estimate, so there are poskim that are makil to weigh it also. Okay, so basically the svar here is the kula is based on the svar that the iser to weigh is only if you're doing schora. Like, but if you're not bearing the fruit itself, you're just paying the money you're going to pay at the end of the day is for expenses. It's just calculated relatively to how much the fruit you're taking. So that's how much you pay relatively on the expenses. So there's no iser to weigh. And anyway, if you don't weigh it itself, then the shop is insisting to weigh it. That's not your problem. You didn't put on the weight yourself. Also, weighing the fruit for cooking, any cooking purposes is also allowed. So if you need a certain amount at home and you have shvit fruit, so you can weigh it for cooking purposes.
Why are you allowed to take more than that shos sudot when you go to the shop?
Why you're not buying the fruit? You're not no. The picking the issur is ktsira.
So what was the
basically doing the second? Nachon, good question. I don't know. I don't have a specific answer for that. Good question. You're asking basically if I would be allowed to take more than a quantity of a few sudot. Good question. I mean, the baiting was basically distributed in a certain way. I don't think, I don't remember now the specific sources. I don't want to say something not reliable, but center, okay.
Also, you can't like, I can go once a week and do my fruit shop, or I have to go every 3 days.
That's a good question. I didn't look into it. Yeah. Okay.
Also, might depend on the way people shop.
That's the same.
נכון.
Nowadays,
but,
in other words,
נכון. נכון, just run to the shop, לא להטריח. כל יומיים לזה. Anyway, בסדר. Okay, let's move on to Heter Mechir.
Yeah,
3 minutes for Heter Mechir.
Is there a problem in the way you buy, like cash, credit card?
I don't think so, because you're not paying for the fruit. Okay. Basically, you're not paying for the fruit. That's the whole point here. That's okay. That's the whole point of Mutal Beit, is you're not paying for the fruit. That's why it's fixed price, and it's a price that's fixed, and it's not got to do with the... Okay, that means... I'm going to have to take a bit of extra time. It's because we have to finish the shiur today, so... Mirosh, I'm going to start a bit late. Fourth solution, Heter Mechir. I won't go now into all the history of Heter Mechir. You can give five shiurim on Heter Mechir and all what it's based on and all what it's not based on and why yes or no to all the different things. I'll just go into very, very...
general.
Very, very quick and short. And... what's relevant specifically for us when we buy fruit or basically vegetables on Shemitah. Heter Mechir started out about 120 years ago about Tafresh Mem Tet. When the Shaila came up with the people in Israel, all the new settlements in Israel were starting, and basically most of the people worked in agriculture and need to stop the everything for a whole year would mean basically killing the Jewish settlement in Israel. That was a problem that came up, and the solution that was suggested by a few Gdolim was a Heter Mechir, basically selling the land to Goyim for a limited amount of time, which means and basically relying on three halachic things that basic principles that could be based the heter. Number one is that according to most poskim, there is a big machloket on this, but according to most poskim, keeping Shemitah at these times, and hopefully it will change soon, is the Rabbanan. Okay, it's not the Oraita, it's the Rabbanan. Bezrat Hashem, as far as I remember, when most of Am Yisrael will be in Eretz Yisrael, so then it will turn to be the Oraita. Then we're going to have a lot of new shilas to deal with. Excuse me?
That's
not
real problems.
Excuse me?
That's not real problems.
Yeah, that's right. We don't want Mashiach Lecha Chas V'Shalom. Right. Chas V'Shalom, right. Number two, okay, is the second point here is there's a very big machloket, which I won't go into now, the details of it, but when a goy owns land in Israel, does that take out of the Kedusha out of the land or not? So the Maisa we pass in that it does not. Okay? It does not. And but when Shvit is the Rabbanan, there are some poskim that hold that it does. Okay? And the Heter Mechir is basically relying that since Shvit is not as the Rabbanan, we can rely on the poskim that consider that if Shvit is the Rabbanan, Yesh Kinyan Legoy Lefkia Mia Kedusha. These are when Goy owns the land, it does not have the Kedusha, and therefore, whatever work is done there is not considered work in the Jewish land. There's no Isser on it. Okay. Number three, there's Isser in the Torah of Lotechonem, okay, which Chazal interpreted as Lotitenem Chanaya Bakalka, which means there's an Isser Torah to sell land to Goyim in Eretz Israel because it is strengthening their stronghold in Eretz Israel. And that is the Isur de Oraita. Okay? So how do we... And that is one of the big problems with the Heter Mechir. So how do we... what is the Heter based on? Two things. Number one, saying... the Poskim said that when you sell it only for a limited amount of time, there isn't the Isur of Lotechonem, because you're selling it only ahead of time only for 2 years. Okay? Number two... is since the point of selling the land is for the welfare of the Jewish people, So therefore, the whole point of Lotechonim is not to give strength to the goyim. But if selling to the goyim in this case strengthens the Jewish community, so therefore the whole Isser is not valid in that case. The three big rabbonim who gave the first heter, not Rav Kook, were Rav Yeshua Mikutna, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector of Kovna, and Rav Shmuel Moliver. They were the first rabbonim to give the heter, and Rav Kook in later years kept on with the heter that was given before. Now, when we relate to heter mechira, one important thing to do is always differentiate between, as I would call, the how and the why, which just means what I explain now is how to get over the halachic problems with heter mechira. Like, why is it why is not the right word, but what is the halachic basis for the heter mechira? But since it is a heter that is based on a lot of kulot put together here, also the kulot in Lotechonim, also the relying that a goy, that land that a goy owns in these times does not have kedusha, and depending also on what type of work we allow in the land when we do heter mechira, I won't go into that right now. So therefore, the big question that comes in when we want to give a kulot, and that is something I tell a person about me, when you give a psak, is why do you need the kulot? What is the purpose of it? Why do we need that kula or we don't need it? If there's a case of a aguna, so we try and find as many kulot as we can to give a heter, because it's a case where we need to save the wound from these living alone all our life. But in the cases where we don't need the kula so much, so we don't take things that aren't so smooth in halacha and use them lechatchila. So, and therefore, the argument comes up, okay, so the halachic base for the heter mechira didn't change. Shmita today, nowadays, is not d'oraita. The svarot of Lotechonen didn't change. Why is this or isn't this? But the question we can answer is do we have the same reasons that those rabbanim gave the heter for, which they gave 120 years ago, are those reasons? Or do we have other reasons that are valid enough today as they were then? And that is the big argument about implementing the heter mechira today. That means not arguing, okay? Now, that is the big argument. Moreover, that even at those times, there were three halachic arguments to the heter. One is saying that lotechonem is valid even if you sell it for a limited amount of time. And that means it's Isur Torah. That is a very big argument. Second argument is that if you don't, since selling land, if it's not listed in the taboo, it's not considered by the government as selling land, so therefore it's not considered a sale at all. So, okay, halachically you sold it to a goy in halachic ways, but if it's not authorized by the government, by the official law, so it's not valid. So the heter mechira doesn't help you at all. That's the second thing. And the third is that's the later one, which most poskim disagree with this disagreement with the heter mechira, is that it's only a trick. That's only harama. You don't really mean to sell the land. But lemaisa, most poskim may disagree with this one, because they say the heter mechira chametz do it, and in other places where we rely even on doraita and shvit, today's the rabbanan, even chametz doraita, we rely on the fact that the person is selling his chametz for a week and buying it back afterwards. So. So the mice of this, but there's very strong base for disagreeing with the heter mechira. Now, in any case, what's important to know about it, that most of these problems are problems regarding the authorities, the rabbanim, or the authorities that are authorizing the heter mechira, but us as consumers, as people who couldn't buy the fruit, the problems are not as great at all. Because let's say that the mechira isn't valid. Let's say that the rabbanim gave the mechira. Let's say we're machmir, that the mechira isn't valid, and it's not good, and it was the Isser to give it to the goyim, and whatever. Okay, and the mechira isn't valid, and it's Jewish land. So what is that considered? So it's Jewish land that was worked on Shemitah, Shelo Kadin. What is the case? What is the halacha in that case? So a lot of the achronim paskim, and that it's considered shamu v'nevad. We mentioned that 2 weeks ago. That was kept like not there wasn't it wasn't made hefker, and it was the land was worked on shmita shamu v'nevad. In that case, a lot of poskim say that, but the avad, it's a lot, you're allowed to eat the fruit. So when I'm coming to, you can. It's because the Isra is on the person to work the land. The fact that he worked the land on Shemitah doesn't turn the fruit into Asr. Yeah. So it's his problem.
What's the chicken and what's the egg?
It sure has Kedusha.
Even the Hetz Mechir.
If the Hetz Mechir wouldn't be valid. Now, second. Now, there's. Okay, now I've said it. Now, so I'm just saying that the Hetz Mechir problem, from the point of view of the person who's buying, is a much less thing, because let's say you can rely on the Rabbanim that gave the Hetter Mechir. You can argue if they should have or they shouldn't, but since they agreed that they decide that there's good enough reasons to do the Hetter Mechir, so it's valid. Even if you consider that it's not valid, so say it was Shemitah fruit that was worth Shalok Adin, it's Shamu v'Nevad, that according to a lot of the poskim is Mutal b'Di'avad. So you're allowed to. So
it's fruit, though.
Very good.
The other question is, what's the chicken and what's the egg? In other words, it's diavad that it's in the shop, but if I go to the shop and I supported it, let's say last Shemitah, then I'm encouraging the practice of Hetzer Mechira, and they're saying all these consumers in the country are consuming Hetzer Mechira. Obviously people think it's okay.
So that's
we're
going to
continue this practice next time, so it's going to be the diavad again, even though...
Nechon. But the Maisa, so you're saying that Lifnei Iver lo titen michshol. Reb Shlomo Zalman said that it's not considered Lifnei Iver, since the people who are distributing the Hetter Mechir have who to rely on. They're not doing a Yisri. Not that you're going and buying fruit from somebody who's a Mechalel Shmita. Right? Which you're not allowed to do in the first place. But you're buying fruit that basically the people who did it had who to rely on. A big poskim to rely on. And that's what they told him to do. So even if you're a machmir that doesn't rely on it personally, it's not a isur lifnei iver lo titen michshol to buy from. And the fruit itself is not a soup. Because it's
v'yavad. Why didn't they do it?
Otzar Beitin developed. Why didn't they do Otzar Beitin? Probably, I mean, I don't know exactly. I didn't read all the history, but it could be because they were choshesh. And that's a big argument here. I mean, we're very short in time. It's not. You don't have to apologize. I mean, it's a very. I mean, we should have had more shiurim in the series, but hopefully, maybe next year we can have a few more shiurim, but then maybe go more into depth into the sugiyot. This is a very important sefer on the subject. Rav Weitman, who was Rav of Tnuvan today, is the representative of the Rabbanut Hashit Lisrael for doing the dealing with Shemitah next year, and he's going to make sure the Hetter Mechir is done properly. And he wrote here all about Shemitah Mamlachtit. And there's a big argument here, because basically what we're doing here is the debate is to do everything, at least everything Otzar Beitin, okay, or to do Hetter Mechira. So Otzar Beitin, we said, it's a lot of problems with the farmers. You have to make sure they're doing keeping Shemitah properly and all that. Hetter Mechira, you sell it, it belongs to a goy, and a lot of the avodot are mutal. Even though Rav Kook was very machmir, even on lands that were sold to goyim, you know, again, Hetter Mechir is very machmir on what work you can do in the land, even though it was sold to goyim. So, and today the Hetter Mechir is more making than what Rav Kook at the time gave. In any case, so as David pointed out, all this is good for things that have to for fruit, nachon, for fruits. Therefore, we'll prefer Otzar Beitin on Hetter Mechir. Definitely, it's Pirot Shvi'it. That's lechatchila. If there's no Otzar Beitin,
fruit has
Kedushat Shvi'it
or it doesn't?
Terrific question. That's a very big machloket. Lemaisa we pass him that doesn't. There's a big machloket when he started a few hundred years ago between Beit Yosef and the Mabit, if fruit that grew in a karka nochri has Kedushat Shvi'it or not. The Minag Yerushalayim, all the years, and in most of Eretz Yisrael, in all of Eretz Yisrael, basically the Minag, and that the Beit Yosef writes that, was the Minag was that it does not have Kedushat Shvi'it. The Chazon Ish was Machmir on that, to say that there is Kedushat Shvi'it in Pirot Nochri, okay, that Gedal Be'eretz Yisrael, and in Bnei Brak, they hold by the Chazon Ish. Lately, in last Shemitah, Rav Yoshev decided that he's also machmir that chumra, but l'maise all the Yerushalmi Rabbanim who were Vatikim Yerushalayim went against that chumra, Rav Yoshev, and said, "Do you want to be machmir in Bnei Brak?" Okay, they kept the halacha, the psik of the Chazanish, he was the Rav in Bnei Brak, but do not keep Kedushat Shvit and Hetem Chir Perot.
Do I have to take Shemitah? Do I have to take Trumas Masters and everything?
Good question. Good question. There's also a very big session about that. I don't remember the psak right now. There's a very big issue about that, but the question I'm saying, no, it's very important. No. What?
It's not your land, it's Goy's land.
It depends very much on what stage it came out of the Goy and what there's.
So what about the vegetables?
No, again, a second. Let's just finish with the vegetables. What happens is all this is good. All this is good for things that have Kedushat Shvi'i, okay? But if it's a we said the things that are planted on Shemitah, okay, that the vegetables didn't start growing on the sixth year, have Isul Sfichim. Here's not just a question of Kedushat Shvi'i or not Kedushat Shvi'i, okay? Here's a question if it's we're allowed to eat it at all or not, okay? Now, so here, basically there's no solution with Jewish land to eat vegetables, okay? No solution with Jewish land. That means, okay, now what's going to happen with Tzara Aves is as follows. Fruit is all going to be Otzara Beitim. There's not going to be, as far as I know, there's not going to be no Heter Mechira in fruit. There's no reason to have, basically it's all going to be Otzara Beitim. Now, so, what are the solutions for vegetables? Basically, Jewish land in Eretz Yisrael, no chance. You can't have vegetables, it's Yisul Sfichim. Okay, so that means after a few months into the year, there's going to be no vegetables around it with Kedushat Shvi'i. So the solutions are as follows. It's or Heta Mechira, or import. Okay, and Otzar Aretz, Baruch Hashem, is not bringing from the Palestinian Authority, not from Hamas, and not from Fatah, not from Abu Mazen, and not from... the Free MJ's there.
Bush just gave him $180 million.
Right. Thank you very much. Okay. In any case, they're not bringing from the Palestinian Authority. So basically, it's or import from Chutz La'aretz, okay, or import from Chutz La'aretz, or Heter Mechira, okay, Heter Mechira, which in Lemaise, which here is, it's a big kula Heter Mechira here because here Heter Mechira, if you don't rely on it, there's so then it's considered a sfichim. It's a sul b'achila. You can't say that heter mechira, okay, it's for the consumer, is a lo kol kach nora. It is. Because if al atzad that we can't rely on the kulot of heter mechira, it's a sul b'achila legamu. So you're not allowed to eat it at all. Now, so therefore, as follows. In that case, heter mechira versus Arab produce, which is brought in, for sure, Heter Mechira is better. Heter Mechira is better.
They're importing from Arab, meaning like Jordan, or they import from Mexico?
So, Otzar Aretz is going to import. Jordan is a lot of. There could be also questions from Jordan because it depends which areas in Jordan and all kinds of things. There could be problems there because certain areas in Jordan are considered also Eva Adena Mizrahi and could have some halachot mitzvot to Ba'aretz. Jordan, I will check out exactly where it's coming from and all that. The mice I'm talking about, Palestinian Authority, things that come in from Palestinian Authority or places like that, if at all, Heter Mechira is better. If you have import versus Heter Mechira, I don't know what to tell you which is better or not. Masha Batuach, if you are buying Heter Mechira and not buying import, make sure it's a good Heter Mechira. No, vegetables. Not talk vegetables. Fill in afterwards. Check it's a good Heter Mechira, which means that means Heter Mechira of Otzar Haaretz. It's done properly, okay? Or it has, check that it's a place that has a good Heter Mechira on it. Not, somebody tells you just it's okay, or just rely on the Rov that most of the places are Heter Mechira.
Is it better not to eat it?
What? Not to eat vegetables at all?
Yeah. No, I'm serious, like from a halachic perspective, Heter Mechira.
No, import for sure, halachically, is no problem at all. Heter Mechira is okay to rely on, is okay to rely on, etc. And you could rely on Heter Mechira, etc. And I just, if you ask me what's better, because Eten Micha, first of all, has an advantage that you're holding the Israeli agriculture. It's not because basically by bringing things for import, even if it's from Mexico, you're taking off the you're making it difficult for people to keep Shemitah in Israel. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. It's important.
Basically, because if it's a farmer whose produce, his vegetables rather than fruit, so he can't deliver to Israel.
Nachon, but the Torah, he can't go.
The only option he has to.
Nachon. So Lamai said. Okay.
A sechem applies to all vegetables.
All one-year vegetables. Yeah. Okay. There's going to be lists. There's going to charts. There'll be charts. Everything. Look, I'm sure if it charts from last Shemitah, there's which will produce a Machon HaTorah Ba'aretz, and I reckon, I'm sure they'll produce these charts close to Shemitah again.
Charts are in the
Autorized.
That's
why
I have the book.
Oh, yeah, it has also the... Okay, so you have charts here. It tells you everything. What has promos fichim, what doesn't have promos fichim, which dates you have to watch out for every fruit and that. And before you go to buy, just take a look before you go to buy. That's it.
Generally have
reliable,
like...
I don't know, because... Another thing to watch out is, even if somebody does want to buy for some reason or other from the Arab produce, from the shops, which I think is something that shouldn't be done, because it's basically, especially with those Arab areas that are in a state of war with Israel, to buy from them is basically to give them... It's all their economy. But Lemaise, the point of there's been a lot of also feulistic done with these things. That means the Jews would grow things, give them to Arabs, and they'd be sold back to Jews again. So, and it's always all sold as Arab products, and this is things that I know from inside information, that things that have happened, okay, in a lot of places where what was brought in as a Arab products from Israel was basically Israeli stuff that was just brought around the other by the back door by Arabs, so you have to watch out for that also. Okay, so that is the Maise. Another just last thing. This last thing is things that are brought from outside the Gvulot of Olei Bavel, which means there are different borders. We read in Parashat Shavua. There's the borders of Eretz Yisrael, Nachal Mitzrayim, okay, which is probably around Vadi El Arish, up to the north, somewhere around the Lebanon area. That's the Eretz Yisrael of Kibush Rishon, of the days of Yehoshua, okay, when they came and conquered the country. Am Yisrael went to the Golos in Bavel, came back there for 70 years, and they conquered a much less, smaller amount of Eretz Yisrael. Lemaise, from the point of view of Isur Sfichin, okay, working the land is Asur in all the areas, even outside Gvulot Olei Bavel. But Isur Sfichin applies only in the areas which are Olei Bavel, that means the smaller areas. That means areas that are outside that. That means some areas in the south of the Arava, okay, and Gush Katif Zuchma Ivacha. Those areas are areas which are Mechutz Ligvulot Olei Bavel, which do not have Isur Sfichim, and therefore you can hold basically Otzar Beitin there. You can have Otzar Beitin or bring fruit from there without the problem of Sfichim. Lemaisa, what happens is there's a lot of sfikot exactly where the southern border lies in the Arava, Arava Tzfonit, Arava Dromit, and that's what Otzar HaAretz at least does heter mechira l'Rav Chadamilta, which means which areas we rely on it, that it's basically chutz la'aretz from the point of view of Yisur Sfichin, but just in case you do a heter mechira, so that there shouldn't be a Yisur Sfichin on just in case it is considered in the borders, there shouldn't be a Yisur Sfichin on it, just to cover that. Excuse me? I don't think it has Gush Hashvi in these places. Okay, that is with regard to these areas. Besides that, usually the melons or watermelons would come from these places.
You mentioned the Heter Mechira, to be careful that it's a right Heter Mechira. If it has a
Ramanut, which is that's okay. No.
Another question is, if I agree on a shkafic level, you know, the buying from Arabs, right? I would mark it on that, on non-Shemitah years, meaning Rabbanim come out and say, don't buy from this Makola because there's Arab cucumbers in this Makola.
Okay, the point here is not, I would say, the point here, I know this thing is always said, hey, anyway, you're buying a lot of your vegetables from Arabs, what are you starting to make a big balagan on Shemitah? What are you waking up on Shemitah? I've heard it too many times, the demagogia. Why? Because Lamaise, what usually happens is that all the Israeli produce comes to the shuk, and whatever it doesn't come as very close is filled in from the Arabs. Okay? That's basically the way it works. So obviously, a certain amount of the shuk of the market is Arab produce. Okay, but what happens in the Shemitah when you're dealing with the Arabs, okay, and doing all your deals with the Arabs on the back of the Jewish farmers? So basically, you're ruining the Jewish agriculture by paying the Arabs. That's the problem here. It's not the problem of the fact that you're doing, and this is. The facts are that dealings are being made with the Arabs. I don't know if they're going to come out because now it's all Hamas there and everything. I don't know what's going to happen there, but basically deals are being cut on dozens of millions of shekels or dollars. I don't know exactly, and it's not it's done especially for Shemitah. It's not that they're buying all things just as usual. Just yeah, you know. Basically you're taking the Arab thing instead of the Shemitah in Israel. Okay. Center. Atkan, I hope it's not a shame. Next year, I mean, this was a very short series, and we had to go and think very, very, very quickly. But maybe next year, it's not a shame, we'll be able to go more in depth, or maybe, I don't know, if the Shabbat Shiurim or other forum, if people be interested. And obviously, we'll have to, there's still more questions we didn't go into till the last point, but any more specific questions, please email. Any emails come in, I didn't get. Anyway, email the Shemitah Gmail.
No,
okay, better. Any if you have actually email the Shemitah Gmail, and maybe we'll try it. Maybe if we can make sure more specific topics or certain things, if people have specific questions, it may interest the public. And we'll be simcha rabba. Okay, shkoyach.